Well, hello there. How is one? It's the middle of March, and here we are. Spring is upon us, the clocks are soon to turn back, and you find myself and Anna hanging out with pieces of paper, Anna with her glasses on, back in a hoodie, me in a green jumper, sat at my office desk, the sun beaming on my face, and we're here to entertain you with another beautiful episode of Listener's Questions. Before we play the ukuleles, Anna is now going to say something that is really insightful, that's really inspiring, that is going to make you want to keep listening for the next half an hour to an hour or so on this podcast. 3, 2, 1, go, Anna.
Don't eat yellow snow. I mean, you could have told me that was coming, love.
And that's where we're at today with the enthusiasm, people. We're quoting Frank Zappa. Anyway, here's the ukuleles. I mean, it does get better. I will just reassure you that this episode will get better. It has to. I mean, you have to start right at the very bottom and gradually be build up, and we'll work each other up. Like although we're not in person anymore and we are continuing to do these never-ending Zoom meetings, it's nice to see you. She's stroking my face. Yeah, I'll stroke your face too.
Can I have a disclaimer? I have got a temperature of like 39. I'm a little under the weather. So, you know, I'm not on fighting form. So I do apologise. But no, it's so nice to see you.
I just think it's fascinating at where your mind goes. Here I am talking about inspiration and you go to yellow snow. That says everything about Anna. But if you are new to this podcast, we welcome you. If you are a long time listener, a subscriber, a follower, then it's awesome that you're still here for the ride. And perhaps you maybe used to listen to us, you delved away a little bit, and now you're coming back. It's all right. We're glad to have you back and listening. We are sponsored by Slimming World. We say the usual disclaimer where please use common sense. Check with a doctor if you're not sure about anything. And our advice is don't do this alone. Join a group. Find a consultant. Find some people who live near you or can just be your troopers, your support people, because it's always better to do this stuff with others, not just on your own. But you're a part of our community now anyway. So come find us on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. Anna, I feel like the variety of things on people's minds right now is actually quite surprisingly optimistic.
Yes.
Compared to where our listeners' questions were of a couple of months ago.
I also feel I've had to exercise my consultant brain muscles. I always like that. But I feel like there is a light coming through these questions. People are looking forward and not stuck in the deep quagmire. Is that a word? Quagmire, have I made that up?
No, quagmire is how you spell it. Quagmire, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there definitely was a time, I think, you know, in England anyway, guys who are a little bit further afield, forgive us, that's where we're based. We can only go from our experience. You'll all have very different experiences. But, you know, the third national lockdown in a year, I think, like for most of us, this third one was so much harder than the others. Like, you know, the winter, people, that usual kind of like January, yes, it's a new year, it's a new start, that kind of energy that I thought I would have. I didn't. I just really felt a little bit like, oh God, it's just never ending. And I was trying to explain, like, you know, to my dad in Canada, to like one of my clients who's out in Luxembourg, to like a friend who's in Australia, what it's been like, how hard it's really been the last few months to live in the UK. And also, I just also think we have to admit, right, as Slimming World members, I really pay my money to go and have someone else weigh me. I hate home weighing. I hate it.
It's so interesting.
I love going to group, to seeing who I'm going to meet, to the little chats in the queue as you wait to go for, you know, to pay for your weigh-in, you know, the little, the celebrations, seeing people with the certificates. I even miss the Slimmer of the Week basket, you know, the raffle.
It won't be long, gang. Isn't it brilliant that we've had, for what's been almost a year, this little space where we can kind of be with each other, because no one expected it to last this long. But I'm excited for the rebirth of Real Greek. I really, really am. I can't wait to physically see people again. I bumped into a member in the supermarket and I felt like it was Christmas. And I just talked at her. I mean, I talk at people normally, but I was like, because it was seeing someone else that's not, you know, contained within your little bubble. And you just forget how much you miss interacting with people, don't you?
Yeah, you know what? And interestingly, a couple of people have dropped us messages in the last month because virtual groups are still going on. We don't know what the situation is about opening, you know, within the next few weeks. It's very different depending on where you are, right? So virtual is the way forwards at the moment. And actually, Nikki sent us a message saying, I'm listening from home whilst working. I want to return to Slimming World. Had good results in the past, but I've moved, so I can't make my previous group. Wondering what the online meetings are like as I've not rejoined yet. Sam said, had a nightmare of 2020, had to leave group. There was so much going on. The last few months, I found myself making a ton of excuses why I don't have to go back. I'm getting back to where I was when I first started, but I feel so, so down. I'm terrified to go back. It'll be the fourth time in the last 2 years. It'll be the same group, but I just can't face it. How do I find the motivation to just get back to it? And she put, sorry for the long email. I just don't know who else to turn to. She signed it, Sam, a 29-year-old mom who is losing more of her, I've inserted the word mind because this is a family-friendly podcast, losing more of her mind every day. I think that there probably will be quite a few people who in the last couple of months have just gone, F it, can't be bothered. And now that the sun is coming back out, we start to have to wear less clothes, you know, as it gets a bit warmer. And you're like, oh my God, I have to start seeing people. I have to go to real environments. Ah!
It's really interesting how we've seen a resurgence of people coming back to group since we kind of got more of a roadmap and then, you know, the sun started shining. So 100% neither of these ladies are alone. I mean, I would say to Nikki, first and foremost, do you know what? We've had a year and I can only speak for my Zooms, but we have fun. We laugh, we cry, we joke, we learn. We have 30 to 35 minutes of real kind of setting you up for the next week. So I would say you're not going to regret joining a Zoom group. It, you know, it's not image therapy like in the horseshoe, but it's as close as we really, really can get to it. And what I see of mine is what's beautiful that's happened is the communities that have formed because of Zoom. And I think once we get back into reality, we're going to have such a strong, even stronger friendship because, you know, you were talking in the last episode about the member from your group and how, you know, she's got out of her bed and now she's in her kitchen. You've all learned to know a little bit more about her. And I think what's happened with us in Zooms is we've got closer because we've had some real breakdowns in there. We've had some real highs, some real lows. But above all, we've all carried each other through. So I would say get in touch with your local consultant, get to a Zoom. And, you know, I have people bob in, check out what Zoom's about and have a look, see if it's for them. So, you know, get in contact with your consultant and they'll make that happen. And I'd say to Sam, oh, darling, do you know what? I can totally relate to you. I'm the member that joined 23 times and sat in the car park of six groups. So I get the fear that you're feeling. Let me tell you from a consultant's point of view, when a member is courageous enough to get in contact with me and say, I want to come back, I have so much admiration for them and respect that I think that is a really brave thing to do. But no, you will never, ever face anything other than support. I would give your consultant a little call or a text and say, you know what, this is how I'm feeling. And just have a chat with him or her because I think they'll put your mind at rest. I don't know, Claire, if you've got any other words of wisdom.
Just remember that your consultant is a human too, right? They are a fellow slimmer. They've also found it quite difficult, you know, to kind of manage their weight like we all have. And the other thing I think about doing this with others is that you just need to remind yourself that you're not alone. Like doing it on your own is always tougher. And even just to have someone else say what you've been sat thinking in your own brain for months is just such a relief. Like you just find yourself nodding like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one.
And you're not. There are so many people feeling like this. I had a lady came back and rejoined after 5 years onto Zoom and it's taken her 6 months to pluck up the courage to contact me. So do you know what? Drop your consultant a message, a voice note, ring them. If they're anything like me, they'll probably squeal at you with excitement that you're coming back and give you all the help and support. But also what's really important, Sam, is decide that this is a different journey. Yes, you may have been a member 4 times in the last 2 years, but we've got to leave that aside. We've got to take the learnings from it. This is a brand new journey. Don't hold any sadness or guilt or whatever you may have felt about the last journeys, because they're done. Let's crack on with a new one.
Yeah, I agree. 5th timer here. Let me just point out some people who have had amazing light bulb moments and some celebrations, because I think sometimes we all need to hear this when we're in the quagmire, as Anna says. This is a great reminder that there are other people who are just chipping away at their chihuahua steps and they're getting there. So Michelle sent us a message. This is my 3rd Slimming World Rodeo. I got to target the 1st time around, but I left group because I thought I knew it all. Yesterday, I had a light bulb moment when Anna said, being good isn't the same as being on plan. It really made me think I've been doing the Michelle version of Slimming World for most of the last 8 years. So this week, I am going to food optimize all 21 of my meals.
Yes!
Ashley also sent a message. Congratulations, Ashley. She reached Target. She is officially a Slimming World Target member. She says, though, she's still the same me, just a happier, healthier, more confident version. Oh. Doing the plan has improved her mental health even more than her physical. And also with the help of our podcast, she really feels she's unpicked the psychology in the best possible way. That's awesome. Congratulations. And Sue, this is quite a deep and meaningful one. Sue had a light bulb moment. She said, my husband died 4 years ago of a heart attack. He'd been overweight for many years, which must have contributed to his condition. At the time, I wish I could have turned the clock back so we could live a healthy lifestyle and do so many things differently. I was 49, but now I realise this is my 2nd chance to live a healthier life. After years of working on my self-esteem and learning to love myself, I don't want to ever look back at a photograph of myself and be ashamed of how I look because of my weight. For me, old images just need to be happy memories with no judgment about how I look now. I am the same likable and attractive person. Whatever weight I am, I will value my weight loss and will be proud of achieving my goal when I get there. I know it's important to reflect, but for now, I just want to focus on the here and the now and being healthy moving forwards.
Wow.
That's a big light bulb there, Sue. I think that is an absolute mega 1,000-watt light bulb.
That is incredible, Sue. Thank you for sharing.
Some lol readouts, I've put them under that header. Helen, have you seen this one, Anna, right at the top? So, OMG, you guys, love this week's podcast. Decided to listen in the bath this week instead of on my lunch break walk. Sat back, press play, and nothing happened. I was still linked to the Homecast, and all my hubby heard beamed around the whole house was the 1st intro sentence where we said, have you ever been in love with someone but they do your head in? He came into the bathroom looking mightily concerned. The timing was perfect comedy. Thanks, that's given us such a good laugh. Yeah, we do ask where people listen, don't we?
And we've been told, haven't we?
And so was your husband, apparently.
Yeah.
Was that a psychological deep meaning that we
imprinted?
Yeah,
that was
imprinted?
Purposeful, wasn't it? I love that Sarah talks about how she took 2 tins of butter beans with her to listen to the podcast on her 6 a.m. power walk. She got some smiles and laughs from the other early birds whilst out doing her bicep curls. I love that.
Yeah, see, because that was when we did one that was like about like the body magic stuff, wasn't it? And a lady called, who goes under the name Mom Tom Begone, she said she's got a fuming of the half. She's not very happy with us, Anna. Now, after listening to the podcast and announcing they're no longer fast-forwarding adverts and instead they're going to get up and march on the spot whilst doing arm exercises with chopped tomatoes, he's not too happy.
No, I had one of my members contact me to say my partner started listening and he is quoting you at me, Anna, I hate you. Well, that was quite a good one. But Sophie was saying that she realised that it's not just about the numbers. All the non-scales victories add up. I saw my reflection in the window the other day and thought, geez, is that actually me? I stood smiling at myself. Unbeknown to me, there was a woman. Oh, God, on the other side of the window.
Yeah, she wasn't smiling. She was smiling herself and someone was the other side of the glass.
I'll never forget. I got caught peering in a car window, checking out my hair, thinking there was no one in there. Yep, there was a whole family eating a sandwich.
What, just one sandwich between
them? Yeah, they were sharing it. Yeah, they were on a diet.
Okay, we've also seems to be a bit of a recurring theme now on listeners' questions, where we come up with a quote of the month.
Oh, I and, like this. We I need don't know, a jingle for quote of the month. Surely.
Okay, right. Let me just let me do like a serious voice. On this week's quote of the month, Caroline sent us a message. I've been pondering a question in my journal for the last few days. Why let the food we ate yesterday affect the food we eat today?
Quote of the month, quote of the month. I like that quote. So true.
Yes, you know what? Draw a line. It's a bit like what Margaret was saying the other week. You know, the future's still to write. Like,
exactly. And watch people who don't struggle with their food. They are not obsessing about the pizza they ate 12 hours before. They've forgotten about it.
One of the things that I think has been the most messaged about podcast in the last few weeks was the episode one for the men.
Oh, massive.
What really interested me, though, was I wasn't sure what our female listeners were going to think. And we got lots of positive messages from men, which I'm really glad. And I was really enthused that a lot of female listeners also felt that they learned something from listening to Jason's story and just generally that episode. And I hope that, you know, many listeners kind of go and talk about that with their best friends, with their brothers, with their fathers, with their husbands.
He was so inspiring, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Carl dropped a message saying he's really glad he found our podcast. He listens to them at night. He's lost just over 2 stone. Sometimes he feels strange about sharing the fact that he's lost this weight with his friends, as he doesn't want them to think he's fishing for compliments. Oh. He just wants to share and just get on with his own journey. He asks whether he's on his own on this and tells us to keep up the great work. You know, I think that's something where we talked a little bit about, like, the confidence in the clothing episode we did. Was it last week? And it's like kind of being comfortable and being okay that people might notice, like, that you're different and, yeah, that you're doing this thing and it's good for you, because you're so used to kind of hiding in the background. And I always find it really interesting that this is not a female issue. This is something that happens to
everyone.
Humans, right?
And I think, you know, what your friends are probably going to be so proud of you for is that you've had the courage to do it and sharing it. You know, you might be the friend that inspires another friend to do it. Like, how good would that feel? They'll know. And even if you were fishing for compliments, it sounds like you deserve them, mate.
Just be proud. We're proud of you, Carl. Keep going.
Keep going.
Right, from men to menstruation.
I mean, anybody would think you were a former or are a journalist and had read the news or written it before. The way you segued from men to periods was just seamless.
We'll keep this one brief, but...
Literally.
Yeah. Sorry if you're eating. We're not going to go into details. But one question that we do get asked often is about Star Week. Okay, yeah. Right. So, weirdly, two people almost called Sarah. One Sarah, one Sarah. Very confusing. So I may confuse your messages. I hope I don't. Sarah says, one for the ladies. How do you control your cravings during Star Week? I find it a real struggle to stay within my daily sins. Sarah, but it may be pronounced Sarah. Some people do. Says, I am a member doing well. I've lost a stone and a half. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Love binge listening in lockdown. It combats loneliness of missing my family and friends.
Oh.
Star Week, hormones and cravings. Oh, I crave sweet things, especially chocolate the week before Star Week. So badly, I would actually swap my husband for a chocolate bar. I know they come every month. I've been Googling for tips and really not found much. So this is one that comes up often. And funny enough, we kind of referenced it, didn't we, in the men episode when the fella at the end said, don't worry, guys, you've always got a Star Week in your back pocket. But Star Week, okay, hormones, fluid retention, you're doing the plan, then it's the week before your period, you gain, even though you've been on plan. It's not a new thing that, you know, when you do this on your own, you don't realise this, but when you go to group, you realise this is a thing and what can we do about it? What do you say?
A few things to remember. Everybody is different. So some people will not retain any fluid on their period. Some people may retain some mid-cycle, some maybe retain when they're on. It's knowing your body, okay? And I think the really most important thing is remembering, if you have food optimized 100%, you will lose weight, but it may be masked by the fluid retention. So I think we've got to strip it down, first of all, to are we actually food optimizing 100% to get the weight loss? If we are, then it's about ignoring that fluid retention, okay, for a minute, because if the numbers have shifted, they will come back down. A few things I've learned over the years is to plan for it, to know, look, I get these cravings. This is what happens to me. I've got two choices. I face plant the ice cream and the chocolate and I gain the weight, or I make a plan. I know that the 15 sins I've got is not going to crack the nut. So I've got to do something different. So what worked for me was a couple of things. The first one was to free food the hell out of it, to eat all the free food I possibly could so I was full. Because if I was a little bit hungry, it was a gateway to a really bad road of sugar. But also to put some key foods into my free food that would help naturally with the sugar cravings. I think what a lot of us don't appreciate is what our body is actually looking for when we crave. So if you want chocolate, actually what your body is craving is the minerals that are contained within fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds. So you could quite easily factor in your fruit and your vegetables, which are free and speedy. If you wanted to use your nuts or your seeds, you could use them as your healthy extra, or in like a savvy sins type of way. If you wanted like sweet and sugary foods, really great fruits and vegetables to get in are things like sweet potatoes, carrots, spinach and broccoli, because they contain the minerals that your body is craving. I know when you want a family sized bar of a well-known chocolate, the last thing you think is broccoli. But trust me, including those in your daily intake can really, really help. Also, if you get like craving things like the fatty foods and stuff, again, it's looking at certain vegetables. Like if you're wanting salty foods, things like tomatoes are really good. If you're craving things like oily foods, things like pak choy, dates and plums and kale, your favourite, they're really, really good. But another thing I've had to really recognise with sugar is the sugar cycle. Because I don't know if you know about this, Claire, but what happens with the sugar cycle is once it starts, it ain't going to stop. Because sugar is addictive. The more sugar we have, the more we need, okay? Especially when our hormones are changing. So what I've had to look at doing is in the run-up to my period, 2 or 3 weeks before, is to try and cut down the refined sugar. So only having natural sugars has really stopped that craving one. But I've had to put in a lot of work into doing that. If you didn't want to go away from sugar, I would suggest, and talking to your group about this, about how you could get your kind of chocolate hit, but make it bigger. So something like a picky plate, maybe. So you had some sins on your chocolate, but you included some fruit, some, you know, vegetables, some slimming mold hummus, all those type of things that then kept you full and satisfied, but also gave you that little chocolate hit. And my last tip would be hot chocolate. If you want a chocolate hit, you're getting the warm drink that's going to fill you, you're getting the chocolate taste. But no, you have the choice and the control of whether you're going to go down this route of, you know, destroying yourself with sugar, or you can step away from it.
Yeah, good advice.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, even like the questions here that follow, you know, they're talking about cakes, desserts. Joe's talking about how do I curb my constant desire for sugary foods. I always want more than my sin allowance. Chanchita is saying, have you got any low sin options for chocolate craving? How to avoid the weekend plan dip? You know, Julia here is saying she really wants us to do an episode just purely on desserts. Mm-hmm. Her go-to desserts are quark jelly with a jelly sachet, quark and frozen fruit. She loves a pudding, uses a sins for her sweet stuff. But sometimes they use, like the real cakes, use up whole day's worth of sins. So that kind of fine balance, I think, that people are juggling. So that's ace. I mean, the thing I would also say about women on Star Week as well. Sometimes I monitor my weight in two different ways. I monitor my weight weekly with my weekly weigh-ins as per the Slimming World Way. But at the top of my book, I write the month and I see how much weight I've lost over the month. Because then the reason that if you kind of start weighing at the same time every week, you start to see if there's a pattern. And using the whole report card, like I have, a smartwatch, like you can have Fitbit, Garmin, Apple, whatever you have. My one shows, tracks my heart rate, my resting heart rate.
And it's higher when you're on your period.
Just before my period, my heart rate goes higher. And also in the middle of the month when you ovulate. So I noticed now that I recognize that my body is going through changes, and I would often find that the week before my period, I would just pretty much maintain no matter how much I went for it hell for leather. But sure enough, as you say, come week one or two afterwards, I would start to see some of that fluid that I'd retained disappear. Yeah. So actually for me, what was a bit more healthier for my mind was looking, okay, over the whole month, how have I done? And maybe you log your inches as well over the month.
I was just going to say that. And right. I think just one key thing to remember, if you're a woman, we are going to have hormonal changes for the rest of our lives. Okay. So if how we're dealing with it now is not leading us to be able to maintain our weight or lose weight with that, then we've got to modify our behavior if we want to lose weight and maintain it. So it's looking at, you know what, it might not be working. Also, having done months where I've gone nuts with sugar and months where I've worked really hard, I actually feel a lot better on those months where I'm really good with the sugar. It actually makes my period a much less stressful event. So there's got to be some sort of link to that sugar surge and everything it does to you. Because sugar, you've got to remember, is a real catalyst for inflammation in the body as well. So, you know, if you've got really bad period pains, again, having a lot of sugar can make them worse.
Ah, headaches, migraines, sleep. I mean, we all know that sugar isn't great for us, but yeah, it's like the 21st century, the modern person's fix, isn't it, really? And there's an element that if you're kind of being quite healthy and, you know, for me, I'm not drinking, I'm doing my exercise, why can't I have a sugary snack? But I think the idea of the gateway is interesting, because that's what Julia's kind of saying here, really, in her message. I think she's kind of saying, I do the Slimming World cakes or Slimming World desserts, the low-fat desserts, whatever. Sometimes I want a real cake. You know, is it best to use your sins on having a proper real cake, or do you just kind of need to just cut that out and just stick to low, like kind of sin options, like which is better? And I suppose that's where the plan is adaptable, right?
Exactly. And go back to Margaret, when we interviewed Margaret, and she said, if you really want chippy chips, have the chippy chip. Because I think what I'm liable to do is I really want something like a piece of cake. So I go and I say, and you can have the low sin things. And you eat four or five of those low sin things to try and satisfy that urge, which is more sins than the original thing would have been. But I think as long as you're doing it and you're in control, if a bit of cake is going to keep you on course, have the bit of cake.
Yeah. Interesting. Next week, we're talking about the subject of, do you really know what you're eating? And I think that will be really interesting to look at kind of more research, more science about subconsciously, like the environment that we eat in, who we eat with. These things, like, it's more than hidden sins. It's like more like the habits and the cultural references that are kind of constantly impacting us without even realizing. And I say that because sometimes you have like, you know, the real cake, but you won't necessarily realize that all the other food that you're eating, there could be extra things going on there that you hadn't even noticed. So it's always an interesting subject to kind of come back to. And I think it just comes under the umbrella of conscious eating, about, you know, managing something that's healthy psychologically as well as physically as well as nutritionally, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Takeaways is like this kind of falls under this as well, doesn't it? Because Kate here is saying about low sin takeaway options, and I suppose in a way, from what we've just said about real cakes versus low-sin takeaway options, like what you just said with Margaret, if you want a proper takeaway, make sure you allocate your sins, work out what the sins are. It's all in the back of the book, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing about takeaways is you're going to need to be savvy with it, because if you're not careful, an Indian takeaway could cost you 3 weeks worth of sins. So that's why it, you know, really going and searching for that information and knowing the things, you know, because something could cost you 24 sins, but you just made a few changes to it and you could get it for 6.5. So yeah, all your information would be in the takeaway guide in your book.
I mean, we have like a friend who, you know, was a fellow member when I used to come to your group, and she would call the takeaways in advance and say, look, yeah, can you cook it without the oil? How healthy is this?
She'd take her fry light in when the restaurants were open.
I've got to say, actually, the difference I find from having things like vegan pizza, vegan Indian takeaway, is so different to like the buttery ghee, the cheesy, the oil in the cheese, I think, from the non-vegan stuff. I found really interesting. By no means is it sin-free. You know, no, there are definitely sins. But I feel a bit lighter after it. Yeah, and there's better options. You know, when I first did Slimworld, I didn't have any takeaways. For me, it was a trigger. It was something I just had to switch off. I was very reliant on not really cooking. I just kind of, if it goes in the microwave or I can order it on a popular delivery app, I'm sorted, because I was very, very lazy. So I had to switch that off for like about a year. I didn't have any takeaways. But more recently, I'm trying to make it more of a lifestyle. So maybe once a month we'll have a takeaway. And yeah, I've been really surprised about how when you order like the vegetable options or the vegan options, like how different they are.
Wow, that's good to know. So maybe that's a tip. Go vegan. As in like when you're ordering, maybe that's a good one to go.
It's a way to get more speed in, isn't it? Get more vegetables, but you still feel like, and also when you have it cooked out, it always looks better, doesn't it, than, well, sometimes my presentation of food is not the best, if I'm honest. Disappointing. As I move from my disappointing presentation.
Nice segue. Nice segue.
Man, I should do this for a living or something.
Oh
right?
My God, you should. Have you thought about it?
Yeah. So, okay, hang on. It's folded over. Suzanne has been listening to the podcast for a while. She started right back at the start, as many of you have. I must find that it must be so weird listening to episode one now. I haven't listened to it.
Do you know what? I went to listen. I was looking to listen to something. Someone wanted some information. And I was like, oh my God, shall I listen to our first? I can't listen. Can't go back.
No, it makes me cringe. But
it makes me feel a little bit sick.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Suzanne said it's been really relatable and motivating.
Oh, good.
Thanks. She joined Slimming World Online as a result of listening. That's awesome. She's just completed her first week. Well done, me, for sticking to it. She cut out the booze. She stuck to 15 sins, felt excited for weigh day, then only lost a pound. Feel like I should have had all the wine I wanted. Any advice? I'm not exactly feeling motivated. And Ella here just simply says, how do you deal with slow weight losses?
It's so soul-destroying, isn't it? And I've been there many a time, and I've watched many, many people in the same position. So well done in not kind of face-planting some chocolate and throwing the towel in. My advice would be, don't get angry. Do what Margaret says, get fascinated. Because like one of the listeners was saying before, have you truly food optimized 100%? Because it may be some tiny little tweaks that need changing. It may be something as simple as doing a food diary. Because we know when you haven't got things like your one-third speed free and your weight loss is going to be slower. Have those healthy extras been meticulously weighed and measured? Remember, weight loss doesn't come from being under 15 sins and not having booze. Weight loss will come from the power of the free food and how you work it. So I always think, if you're in a group, talk to your consultant, get that food diary done, let another pair of eyes have a little look, because that is the view you're going to need to see if there's anything that could be getting in your way. But also know there is always, always ways to go and power it up. If it's in terms of slow progress, thinking about, is the fact that it's slow frustrating you because you want it sorted like tomorrow? Or is the fact that it's slow worrying you because you think you're not doing it right? Like, where does the frustration come from? Because if it's about how your food optimizing, and you're a group member, an online member, let's get you bags of help and support. If you're not a member, maybe this is the reason you need to kind of get to be a member. But I would say just to make sure you speak to your consultant, food diary, double check everything. And if you've been a member before, are you doing the Anna's version of, oh, I used to get away with that before, I'll have a little go. But yeah, don't lose heart.
Also remember that, like, the chihuahua step approach, right? It's like, let's imagine it's a big block of wood and you're just chipping away bit by bit. Like, that first year that I lost a bulk of my weight loss was 4 stone, which averages out at 1 pound a week.
But it's that having that, I think as slimmers, what we all want is we want to wake up and it be fixed. And when we join a slimming group, we have all our hopes, especially on that first week. I'm going to lose 0.5 stone. I'm going to be well on my way. And then you get on and it's a pound and it's like, what's going on? I didn't have all my sins. And I think it's that headspace of knowing your weight loss doesn't come from not having all your sins. You've done it. I will never forget being your consultant and you filled in your Be Delighted book and you came to me and you had lost 3.5 pounds. And I don't know if you remember this, but you'd had 224 sins that week. And you were like, Anna, how have I done this? I was like, look at the free food. Look how you've used that free food. That was the difference. You had also counted every single one of those blinking sins. So you knew where it was 100%. So it just goes to show that if you're not working the free food and you're not working the plan as a whole, you won't get that weight loss necessarily.
You know, it's interesting, right? So as we've just been talking, I'm also a bit stuck at the moment. I'm with you, Ella. I've got these stubborn, like, last few pounds to go for my target. And so whilst Anna was talking then, I pulled out a food diary. I have filled in, I've put my name, I've put my group name, I've put the date, and I've written down 3.5 pounds to go, right? And I hadn't really realised about these food diaries, which you get from your consultant. And she talked about why it's not organised in meals, because then it really helps you see, am I getting over the course of a day speed-free? Because previously I'd always written just breakfast, dinner, tea, but this really helps you see, like, the balance of the type of foods you're eating.
And it also teaches you whether you are doing what actually. So I get loads of food diaries that will have sweet corn in the speed free or cherries. Actually, when you're doing a food diary in the way it's set out, it makes you check the book. It makes you check, actually, I've said this is free. Is it free? Healthy extras, is it weighed and measured? And you see there's a very telling bit at the end. The sins, smallest column.
Okay, here's Carol. Carol just sent us a, you know, I really appreciate your honesty, Carol, with this message. Because the opening of it says, I am really tired of hearing about success stories. And I think this is really telling because there's probably a lot of people who will listen to this who are in that muddy water of just beating themselves up at the moment. They don't feel so great, you know, and they're maybe going through that on their own and feeling quite intimidated that they've maybe gone backwards and they're not sure where to go. So Carol says, I was a success story 2 years ago. I got to target, I lowered it, I reached target again, but I just couldn't maintain it. That famous lockdown stone has now turned into two. I feel so annoyed with myself and yet totally unable to get my head back into the right place. Every success story I read about or hear about just makes me feel more of a failure. And I know that Margaret always says, don't use negative words, but I can't help it. How do I find that positivity switch? My consultant is awesome. She is more of a friend now. And I don't want to swap to another group as I'd lose all my friends. I'm stuck. Help.
Oh, darling. God, I feel your pain. I've been there. I've absolutely been there. So my instinct is I feel you've got to go and talk to your consultant because I think she's got a tool that will really, really help you. And this is on the website, guys. It's the for and against list. And I think Carol, what you get some help and support with is the why and the want. Because at the moment, what I can see from your message is what you're holding is a lot of guilt, a lot of upset, a lot of anguish, a lot of frustration about where you've been and what's happened. So we've got to help you to make peace with it. But we've also got to look at why you want to do this again. And also look at, you know, what is in it for you to change? Because at the moment, this just feels like a really hard cycle. That, you know what, I haven't got the motivation. Look what I've done. I'm bad. I've put this weight on. I'm a failure. Every negative emotion you can imagine. We need to reinforce that self-esteem and self-belief again. So I would say talk to your consultant, really explain how you're feeling. I've had this with my members. I've got to the point in the journey where actually I wasn't the consultant for them anymore. And I think it's true of me and Claire. I think Claire and I don't know if you'd agree, that we ran our course as member and consultant because we crossed the line into friendship. We crossed the line into co-hosting. And actually, I couldn't be the consultant I need to be to Claire.
I never thought that.
Oh, didn't you? I felt that.
Oh, no.
I felt like I couldn't maybe be the consultant and be as frank as I need to be. And this has happened with other members as well. So, you know, it may be that your consultant is a lovely friend, but actually for this next part of your journey, do you need a new group? Do you need a new consultant? It's okay if you do, is all I'm trying to say. Do you know what I mean?
But I've got to say, that's your consultant head on. We also have to take responsibility as members and say, sure. I need more from you. I need this from you.
Exactly.
I need your support.
Yeah.
Because often consultants might kind of look at some of us as members and think, oh, they're fine. They know what they're doing.
Well, we don't know.
They're all right. But if we don't say, I actually need a bit more support now, how on earth can you...
Yeah.
Be the best consultant and do your job properly. So the responsibility is on us too.
Do you know what? I think that's a very valid point because I think a lot of us as consultants give ourselves hard times and feel like we should know when people are struggling. But also, you know, I think it needs to be the two-way process of communication. But yeah.
So let's also look. Another subject that came up a few times is about bereavement and grief. Nicola just says, how do I deal with grief? Tiffany, any advice on dealing with bereavement? I'm either not eating or I start binge eating and I can't seem to actually follow plan during these tough times. Fabiola says, can you give me advice on coping techniques? You know, when one thing happens after another, my brain just melts, my body magic stops, I graze like a cow in a meadow. I would just like some coping techniques for food when the world around me is crumbling.
Oh, wow. So I can only tell you from my own grief, how I've handled it. And, you know, everyone's individual. For me, I had to understand that I was grieving and I was absolutely heartbroken. And actually, do you know what? At that point, food optimizing wasn't my priority. Okay. But then at the same time, what I also then found out is that losing control wasn't making me any happier and actually was making the grief worse. So I think it's kind of done in bricks, isn't it? Like if it's grief that's quite early on, then you've got to deal with the survival of just getting through that. Okay. And I think heaping any pressure on to lose weight, in my own experience, was the worst thing I could have done. I was also just found out I was pregnant. So that wasn't something that was going to happen. But also I think knowing you're going to go through periods where you're going to feel fine and then you're going to go through periods where it hits you like a brick wall and that will have repercussions in the way you eat, but that's okay. But also to plan for it. So knowing actually, is it about when you're feeling good, batch cooking, so you've got loads of free food in the freezer for when you do have a rocky moment? Is it about making sure that your cupboard is full of safe food that you can eat that's going to protect you? Is it about having a buddy that you can talk to when you're feeling really sad rather than going in and eating all the biscuits? So I would say planning is a real key, but also taking chihuahua steps, taking baby steps. So today it's about breakfast. Tomorrow it's about the snacks, but not trying to do everything. Because my dad will have been dead 5 years this August. And I would say it took me 4 years to get through the roller coaster of emotions that grief brought me. And some days I was absolutely fine. And other days I'd be driving down the motorway just with these big tears pouring down my face. So I think giving yourself space, and if you need it, going and getting some bereavement counselling, because sometimes it's too much to deal with on our own, I would say.
Yeah. The thing, like, I mean, even things like heartbreak, you know, when relationships ended.
Grief.
That was, yeah. Yeah, because it wasn't just grieving that relationships, it was grieving all the hopes and the desires and the future, I suppose, that you'd envisioned. And that used to catch me quite a lot, actually, where I would find I didn't want to eat, actually, in those situations. I just wasn't hungry, but I would equally feel very low and weak in energy. And yeah, it's just really hard to kind of motivate yourself. I suppose also that I've learned to recognise now that this thing that I think Margaret pointed out about that we're human, you know, we're not meant to be machines, okay? I realised that, and I think lockdown has taught many of us in the last year, we expect ourselves to run like machines and drive, say, in fifth gear all times. We expect ourselves to open our eyes and be able to be like, 60 miles an hour, 0 to 1 second. And actually, there are 5 gears in a car, maybe 6 if you fancy, for a reason. There is also reverse gear if you need it. But there's all these different...
the handbrake too. Yeah,
that's pretty good. But they're there for a reason. We don't have to go at fifth gear all the time. Choose different paces, except that sometimes it's going to be a bit overwhelming, that there's ebbs and flows of life. Lean into the rhythm of life rather than unrealistic expectations that you are a machine and you should be able to do this and you should be able to cope and you're a failure because you're not able to keep up. You're weak, that you can't do this. Everyone else seems to be fine, but you're not. It's unrealistic. Don't do it to yourself. It is just, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear other people say that. Yet I hold up my hands and say for many years, that was what I was saying to myself.
I think you've got a lot better though.
Yeah, this thing that I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about just being kinder to myself. I got tired. Eventually what happens, you know, Carol, Nicola, Tiffany, you get tired of these unrealistic expectations of yourself. You can't keep it up. And you realise that all these expectations you have, that actually when you kind of voice them and say to other people, like, is this what you think I should be like? And they're like, no, not at all. The only person that you are penalising by having these thoughts and treating yourself in this way is you.
It's you.
And you're the one who also, fortunately, has the power to stop that. And when you unlock that kind of stuff, that's when you really start to see proper weight loss and more sustainable and maintainable weight loss and a healthier, far better lifestyle, like mentally, as well as physically, as well as nutritionally, you know? So it's a painful procedure to accept and forgive and mourn and grieve, and it does take time. But not only will you feel physically lighter, like, you know, in terms of your size, but emotionally. I think it's just that these are things, again, not being a machine, that do not happen overnight. It's not like something you put on your to-do list. Must go buy bread, must get milk, must buy new pants, must get over grief. It's not one of those things. Yeah. I find that really frustrating because I am like a doer. Like if there's a problem, let's go fix it. And you know, and I hear a lot from many of my guy friends. They have that kind of, there's a problem, let me get a tool, I will fix it. I have that kind of way of thinking. But this is not something that can be dealt with in that way.
Grief isn't like that, yeah.
And I wrestled with that frustration and I ate my way through that frustration and I starved my way through that frustration and did all the different things that really are not very helpful to maintaining a healthy, you know, lifestyle. But this is all part of the learning, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's why if we can share the wisdom of what we've learned in our chaotic lives, it might help some other people.
Andre talks about this off plan, on plan thing. I like the way that you said off plan. For a start, Andre, you're further ahead of the journey than you think, because most people say being good or being bad. Scrap that, on plan, off plan, I suppose. But he says
a real interesting thing about on plan and off plan.
Do you?
I just don't feel psychologically it's a good place to be. Like, I'm never off plan. Don't get me wrong. There are many a days where I'm up this side of the pendulum, which is higher in the sins. But for me, there's something about stepping off something to step back on it. And it's like good, bad. Actually, and this is where I've had to get to in my life, and this is where hopefully I'm taking my members to. If I want to lose weight, I have to make changes. if I want to lose weight and get to my target, what I've got to look at is the way I'm behaving going to get me to that place. Because coming off absolutely going and getting wrecked and smashing lots and lots of sins is not going to take me to that place. We did an episode, I think it was last year or the year before, about birthdays and celebrating birthdays and how they're synonymous with booze and food. And actually, we can celebrate birthdays in other ways. And I think when people say about going and having a big night out and being off plan and on plan, that's old habits, old behaviours that you're trying to shoehorn into a new you. So as hard as this sounds, I would really have to think about your weight loss journey or my weight loss journey. And am I getting to that place I want to be by doing this? That's not to say don't go out and have a brilliant time, but it's that notion of casting plan aside to then have to get back on with it and deal with this devastation that getting off it has caused.
I mean, he says here, if you have a big night and go off plan, how bad is it? I think that there can be a lot of people who said throughout lockdown, food has been their only reward, I suppose. Those usual ways that we found joy, you know, of socialising, of going out, of seeing our families and, you know, just that kind of stuff hasn't been available. So we've turned to our old friend, which has been the habit of comfort eating, particularly in winter as well.
Oh, it's been so hard. I'm just a firm believer, and we have to recognise that some of the habits that we try and keep are not habits that are going to get us a weight loss or get us to maintain our weight loss in the end. And if we're doing this big night out, come off plan, it's that starvation binge mentality. And that's what we're trying to break for you. And I say this as someone who used to do it. That's why I'm giving you the benefit of my wisdom, is because actually, if you can say, do you know what? A good night out is now drinking a few gin and tonics, cooking a meal at home, or going out and having a beautiful steak and whatever it is, you could still have an amazing time, but without the devastation of what going and having a big night out. Because I've gone and had big nights out and gained 4 pounds, you know, in drink alone. So I would say maybe just think about how you're feeling and how you're talking to yourself about that would be a big kind of learning curve.
I suppose also like observing how that changes the further on you get. So
yeah.
Okay, fifth time doing Slim and World, bit different this time. I took that year out of takeaways, deliveries, that kind of stuff, because I found that was a trigger for me. When I've kind of started to reintroduce that, one of the things that I find is it just makes me feel so poorly.
Yes.
So the other week I had to work away, which feels like a crazy kind of mad world at lockdown for a job I was doing, lots of testing and social distancing and masks and stuff. But one of the things that they wanted to do was keep us on site. So they provided all the food for us. It was tough because I couldn't be on plan, so to speak. There was fruit, but often it was like, here's your meal, here's it served in a bowl, off you go, to make it COVID protocol safe. I got back home. I don't know if it was the stress of being in the real world, of driving, of eating quite sugary, high-fat foods. I had a migraine for the whole of the day when I got back. And part of it is like, is this because, you know, this is the type of like cake and biscuits and stuff that I would have consumed. I don't eat like that anymore. Whereas it almost become quite normal, I think, because I was always eating those kind of foods that then when I reintroduced it, it was like, whoa, actually, I can't kind of consume that kind of food in the same way. So I think it was a bit of a reality check to like, actually, I don't really want to kind of have these big binges. Like my idea of a big night out is maybe starting to be a little bit different. And I think it's only with time and space and just that time out, I think, that's made me realise that and also recognise the impact that it has physically on my body. Like, I don't want to spend a whole day, you know, having to shut my eyes and not go out and not do anything because I've got a migraine and I can't have conversations and, you know, my vision is blurred. I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything. I don't want to feel like that. I also feel bloated sometimes when I eat loads of fatty food, and that makes me feel really crap too. So that was the norm. That what I find horrifying is that was the norm. And I just started to accept that as like, oh, this is just how it is.
Yeah. After the first lockdown, when a very well-known fast food chain opened, I went and got saved all my sins for it. I was so excited. I was in the bathroom for 2 days after it. I felt so ill because my body just wasn't used to that, you know? So I think it's recognizing if it brings you joy and makes you feel filled with energy and leaping from the lampshades, do it. But it doesn't normally happen that way, does it?
Right, pressure. Okay, Veronica says, am I putting too much pressure on myself? Since December, I've concentrated more and more on planning, on reading the books, on reading the magazines, on making sure that I'm 100% on plan and not stumble. I have not taken a moment to breathe and realize that I might be a bit overwhelmed with wanting my journey to be too dot 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 perfect. Actually, this is not in a cruel way, but Veronica, I smiled reading this because I was a bit like, wait a sec, this sounds a bit familiar.
We call it in the game. We call it in the game. We call it in the business, the slimming world, the corset being too tight.
It's
Like,
totally where I was last year, wasn't it?
yeah. And do you know what? We know when you get into that much minute detail, it fries your head. It also makes you maybe subconsciously sabotage. It's just not fun. And what we know when a weight loss journey feels like this much of a chore, you're going to burst out the other side. So, yeah, find some joy in it. Find some joy because remember, we only get one shot at this life. And while we want to make it the very best, you want to be enjoying every day, not enjoying it because the scales aren't changing. So, taking the pressure off a little bit. Just 1% less, you'll feel a whole lot better. Because right now, from the tone of your message, this isn't feeling fun.
The thing that I realised, Veronica, was, and I think I still am working through this. This is something that I think will be something that I will need to work on for the next few months, particularly as I get to Target. It's a fear of if I take my foot off the pedal, I'm going to go back to where I started. That's possibly what at the heart. So if I hold the reins really tight and I, clench my fists and I stick to absolutely everything, then I definitely will control myself and I won't be able to go back to where I was. Whereas if I slightly relax, it's all just going to go to pot. And that's not a sustainable way. The other thing, by taking and trying to relax, this is what happened to me. What was it, last June? I decided to not weigh for a month. I still went to my group. I still stayed food optimizing. I just decided to remove the numbers from my head, and practice on the habits and the lifestyle and focus on those elements and looked at my clothes and looked at my body magic, those things instead, to just take the numbers out because it was the numbers that were all in my head and stopping me having fun. And I think I also realized from doing that that I knew more than I thought I did about the plan. There were things that had actually ingrained and become habit more so than I thought
Then you
they
trusted
had.
yourself.
Yes, and I had to trust myself.
And you've got to recognize a lot of this is fear talking. Fear talking about going backwards, fear talking about not succeeding, fear. And it's when that loud voice of fear talks up, we've got to shove it up. We really have.
Hey, speaking about like old episodes, so Hazel was listening to some really old episodes. She went back to episode number 9, Body Magic, and she said to hear that episode 9, compared to when we were like doing the tins one the other week, she said it's absolutely mind-blowing the journey that Claire has been on. It's really funny, is
Crazy.
it? Because at that stage, I was like, I know I need to make exercise a habit. I've got a chunk of my weight loss done, but I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my thing is. And now here I am,
Now look at
smashing
you.
up
Look, I
dumbbell.
remember
I need
that
to move up
day.
a new dumbbell, actually. Like, this one I've got at the
Did
moment, it's not
you
challenging me.
ever think you'd say that? I need to move up a dumbbell. I mean, who are you? Who are you?
But the other thing, Hazel did ask, more importantly, was, did Anna get the bike and has she learned to ride it?
No, it is on my list of things to do as we are teaching my small person to ride a bike. We're hoping it's going to happen in the next few weeks. But yeah, if I'm honest, I'm just really terrified. So I've been contacted by a lady that wants to give me some professional bike lessons. So when we are allowed to meet in public, that is what's going to happen. So
So,
yes.
okay, bike lessons potential. You know what, Anna? It's great fun. Get off the road. Like, there's so many trails, and the feeling, like, today is beautiful blue sky, the sun's out, the feeling of, like, the wind in your hair, it's actually quite freeing.
Yeah, but it ruined my blow dry love.
Oh, for God's sake. So, body magic-wise, something coming up in a few weeks for April, by the way, we are doing a step challenge with you all, with each other. We'll have more details in the next couple of weeks. You know about it. Don't get over yourself.
Really? Okay, yes. You got that email.
Yes, you did. So keep an eye about that, because we're kind of thinking, as the clocks change, as spring comes, as it gets a bit warmer, a bit lighter in the evenings, we've got some little plans behind the scenes about how to keep you motivated for body magic. I've got a closing thought here from Rachel, who sent us an email. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Rachel listened to episode 77. This is one we did last year, which we were actually quite nervous about. It was about body image, related to a photo that Adele had posted.
Oh, yes.
And the episode talked about how people can be affected by others' opinions, especially when they're bad and they're cruel and they're judgmental. And so she was listening to this, and it reminded her of a brilliant author, writer, researcher, Brené Brown. I think I've banged on about Brené before. She's brilliant. There's one book which I read last month or the month before called Daring Greatly. Anyway, she talks about authenticity, about vulnerability. It's very powerful. If you're not a reader, she's also on TED Talks, YouTube. Just Google Brené Brown. The premise of what Brené starts in this book is about a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. And it says, "It is not the critic that counts. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who errs, who comes short again and again. If he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly." I mean, I've summarised that quote very crudely, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
And so Rachel says something clicked in her brain. This is what she was thinking with that book, with that quote, with that episode. This is what she says as a closing thought. "How dare anybody else judge me or have an opinion on what I do, whether that be overweight, trying to lose weight, unless that person has stood in that arena and has been through what I have been and can fully understand what my journey has been, then their opinion does not count. It doesn't matter to me, it is insignificant, and it will not affect me. I hope that this may help others to be able to put aside people's judgments and carry on being proud of daring greatly on their journey, whatever that may be."
Rachel, I love that.
That is a fantastic light bulb. And that, you know what? When you really truly look at the Summer Mall plan, when you look at what you get from group, from your consultant, from listening to this podcast, from all the different articles, the magazine, the support, this isn't just about food. It's not about a diet. This stuff all together is what helps you be a better you mentally, physically, nutritionally, emotionally. And that stuff, I think, is so powerful.
Really is. Love that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all of your messages. You know, we obviously get loads, so we're really sorry. Sometimes we don't read them all out, but that's sometimes because what we're trying to do in these listeners' questions is not repeat the same questions, you know, mix it up a little bit. And then we also filter them into our production planning for future weeks. So next week, I read a really interesting article in my geeky researchness, which I wanted to bring to the table. And I know that Anna is going to love reveling in this as a subject. So I titled the subject called "Do You Really Know What You're Eating?" This quirkiness about looking at the environment, who we're with, the size bowl that we choose, all this stuff can sometimes factor in to affect how much and what we eat. It's very fun, geeky. It's all tapping into mindfulness about conscious eating. And I've kind of tucked it under the line of, could it be that a handful of micro bad decisions are sabotaging your weight loss without you even realizing?
Stay tuned for that. You're going to make me eat like a chocolate biscuit in like 4,000 bites?
No, I wouldn't. No. I mean, you may as well just lick it. 4,000. You may as well just lick the chocolate for that.
Oh, you know, I might give that a go.
How Have a great week, whatever you get up to. We will be back next Monday with another episode, we hope. See you later.
Bye for now.